Good morning and welcome. Today is the 10th day of May 2020. I'm your host Corey Lane and this is Brass Tack Sunday. Today is also Mother's Day. And I want to say a big and bless happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there and all you mother figures. I want to say a special happy Mother's Day, of course, to my wife as I observe her, you know, step up in this time of COVID and do some extra mothering. And all you mothers out there who have to do a little bit more mothering through the curfew, the lockdowns, the shutdowns. Right across Barbados, right across the region, right across the world, from us here at Brass Tacks, we want to say a happy Mother's Day. And no better way to say it than from my good friend, Sizzla Kalungi. Thank you, Mama.
Hey, Mama.
Hi, Mama.
Love you, Mama. Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, Mama, don't cry. Gonna keep you by the blood so high.
Reaching out to all the mothers in the world.
Sometimes just the way things are to be, yeah. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. It's my words and muttering. Mama, I will never let you down. Never go away, I'll always be around. You know why you do it, such love that you found. I'm always gonna let you wear that crown. Through the roughest of times, you maintain your calm towards your only end, while sheltering me from the storm. And when it's cold, you wrap me in a towel so warm. Oh my, oh my, I'm so glad I was born. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. Pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Oh, thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. This is my world. I'm gonna make you so proud. Such good son you have. You're the one who teaches me all the good from the bad. Even when the system keeps pressuring my dad, you've got I.O. Thanks be unto the most I got. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. All my vision, aspiration, I owe it all unto you. It's my words and my offering. I'm a big man now, that's how things go. Things they do to survive, only Jai knows. Fiercely protecting us while watching us grow. You've been up, even when it's on the down low. Worked so hard to see us go to school. Blisters on your fingers so they can't take us for food. I'm here for a purpose, I'm here to rule. Most high Jah, Rastafari will see us through. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Oh. It's my turn to make life. I'm so mature, you know I've got my kids and my wife. And I'm positively sure I'm doing fine. And still can do so much more. You're preparing for the future, my love, you deserve. Keep doing your thing, while others not knowing. Go deep inside your heart, Mama, you know where it was going. Can a mother lose her tender care for her child that she's been showing? Somehow, your stars keep glowing. Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through all those pain and suffering.
Just gone 6 minutes after 11 o'clock, and I just want to dedicate that one to every single mother out there. I mean, one of the best starts, the brass starts that they can think about. Now that we got past that part, though, and we think about mother, we want to think about birth and rebirth. And today we're going to be talking to who I consider this morning to be the Young Turks, as we talk about our culture, as we talk about the new way forward in face of COVID, the new way of doing things. And I have what I believe lined up to be a very exciting panel of young, brilliant minds who have not only watched them talk the talk, but walk the walk in relation to a number of innovative initiatives here in Barbados and across the region. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce my guest this morning. And that is, first I want to say good morning and welcome to Nicola Simpson. She's the head of the Blue Economy Accelerator Lab at the UNDP for Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. And she's also the head of the COVID Economic Transformation. Good morning and welcome, Nicole, and happy Mother's Day to you, Nicola.
Good morning. Thank you. It's great to be here and really looking forward to the show today.
I want to give you the opportunity and give everybody that little 1 minute opportunity to shout out their moms and let us get started on a good platform here for Mother's Day.
Yeah, I was really, really happy that you play that song because I actually shared it with my mom this morning as well. So yes, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, mother figures, Mama Earth as well. You talked about birth and growth, so we're going to be talking a bit about Mama Earth today as well. So that's my little shout out.
Excellent, excellent. Couldn't have shared a better song, my friend. Couldn't have shared a better song. I also want to say good morning to Executive Director of Farm Finder Global, Mr. Lorenzo Hayward. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning, Corey. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. And I give you equal opportunity to shout out mums before, you know, no food for you for tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. Let me start by shouting out my mom first and foremost, who's done a wonderful job at allowing me to get this stage I am. My wife, definitely. Much deserving of a happy Mother's Day as anyone else, and all the mothers out there as well that have contributed significantly to Barbados.
Excellent. And by no means least, you may be last in the introduction, but Mr. Rommel, good morning and welcome to you. We're talking 360 living and some other innovations. I want to say good morning and welcome to you and give you equal opportunity.
Good morning, Corey. I thank you for the opportunity to be here to engage in this discussion today. And yes, I would like to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers of the environment, and especially my mother, Pauline Grosner, who without her, I would not be here today, I must say. So I give thanks.
All right, I think we're off to a very good start. And for those now joining us, we're talking today innovation in the face of COVID. And we're looking specifically at agriculture, a lot of things that we've been talking about here in the chair and on the air for like 30 years. And we want to speak to some of these young, brilliant minds, these young Turks, to see where we can really see the innovation, the practical, pragmatic action going forward on this edition of Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you with none other than Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipe, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, well, welcome back to Brass Tax Sunday. Those of you messaging in, querying about Starcom, on fire. Starcom is on fire every day. We got Hot FM, it's blazing every day. We got VOB, we got Life, we got The Beat. And I'm telling you, we always on fire. But there's a small little fire. They told me that the legend has it now is that Dennis and Ken were doing a little cook-off. And I am telling you, it seemed to have not gone in the right direction. So I'm only kidding. There's a small little fire there in the engine room or equipment room. And we have that under control. Starcom is here to stay. So all you panicking out there, we are here to stay. Now, let's get the discussion off. I don't know who wants to get us going, but I want us to open this discussion. I want you to talk to the public about some of the work you're doing. Let the audience kind of identify with who is going to take us through this discussion. Lorenzo, let's start with you in terms of Farm Finder Global. Let's talk about the initiative, what's the plan, and how you are executing. How is the rubber hitting the road?
Yeah, thanks very much, Corey. First and foremost, it's important to acknowledge that Foreign Finder Global Inc. is actually a not-for-profit organization registered here in Barbados, but we operate in Kenya, St. Lucia, Guyana, Barbados as well. We're tremendously focused on three particular focal areas: communication, capacity building, and collaboration as far as agriculture is concerned. Because we recognize first and foremost that although we are focusing on 17 sustainable development goals on the international development level, the agriculture is a cross-cutting sector that touches all of them. Some areas that persons may not even think about. Let's take, for example, life under the blue. Life under the sea, sorry. Some person might think that agriculture doesn't touch that. But when you have countries such as Grenada that have a mountainous incline, and some of the farmers are using pesticides and insecticides that end up running through the rivers and running into the sea, then we can understand the linkage between agriculture and life under the sea as well. I also like to mention some of the initiatives that we've done with respect to COVID. In Guyana, we have a project in an area called Solus Christus that has 30 particular households, and we gave them seedlings back in the early March before we started this discussion about COVID as well. As simple as it sounds, we gave them 5,000 seedlings, 34 households, and that allowed them to kind of reduce the necessity to get out of the house to get some of the basic foods that they can get, mm-hmm. whether it be the eggplants, the spinach, the peppers, and stuff as well. Remarkably, what has happened since then, and I'm getting the updates remotely, is that they've gone from just subsistence farming. Some of them have reduced a bit of excess, and within the community itself, they've started to do a bit of bartering as well, and even selling stuff as well. So that was a milestone achievement. Only recently, as last week, we were given some indications that some of the persons in the household were now utilizing the seeds to replant, thereby reducing the necessity for us and Food for the Poor Ghana Inc. to go back in and give them fresh seedlings again. So this is a milestone for us. In St. Lucia, we are currently in discussions with replicating the e-commerce platform to facilitate the delivery of goods to vulnerable persons as well. These discussions are advancing very well. In Guyana, it is the same thing, but we're utilizing many of the taxi services there, and that should be coming within the next few weeks. In Barbados, we have already started with the Farm Finder platform. Many persons can actually relate to the fact that they would have received some goods from us as well at some reasonable price and at a very hasty pace as well, I must say. What this platform actually does, which is not necessarily advocated as much as it ought to, is that it allows some of those farmers in the market who might have been disenfranchised in terms of logistics and delivery and who may not necessarily utilize the internet as much as possible to do their advertising, to take advantage of the platform and basically come on, register, and we will utilize the produce that they have so that persons that need it can get it, and they don't necessarily have to go onto the market given the social distancing recommendations that are being made. These are some of the things that we're doing in Barbados, but in terms of moving the country forward, I think first and foremost, we must have the appreciation and recognition that agriculture is not an industry that should be seen going forward as, you know, as an industry that you fall into if you don't get into something else. The COVID has shown, although it is a unique circumstance, that there is money to be made, there is economic opportunities to be expanded on as far as agriculture is concerned. We do recognize somewhat of a recultivation of the move towards kitchen gardening. And on that note, we'd love to say that the partnership that we have with NCC recently and the Nature Fund Ranch was a real success. We targeted 400 households in Barbados to give out 10,000 seedlings between April and June. It's still ongoing. At this point, we have distributed to more than 300 households, roughly 7,000 seedlings or so. And we have been inundated with emails and registration of 750 households as well. So we had to put a pause on registration so that we can fulfill the first 400 meter target, which we will meet. But these are some of the things that Farm Finder has been looking to do right now. I will speak a bit later down in terms of some of the things that we intend to do to move the sector forward in collaboration with other partners.
Excellent. I guess that gives the listeners a good understanding of the type and direction are things that we've not only, as I said, talked about. You know, we've looked at our problems and issues for years, and then recently we started to look at the solutions and recommendations, and I really looking for a new dawning where we can actually be pointing to a more implementation, monitoring, adjusting, and more implementation. I want to bring in Romel here at this stage to give us an idea of your initiatives and the type of things that you're working on.
Yes, Corey. Well, as you would have mentioned, all greens in conjunction with the RD Development and Self-Sufficiency, we are currently crafting a project, a program, I should say, entitled the 360 Living System. And this program was in response to the need to address some of the at-risk households out there that may not be able to get through the way the pandemic is affecting the society right now, especially those of the 1,500 households that were identified by the Prime Minister. So this traditional program really and truly is supposed to work on satisfying the needs, whether it's the food security, renewable energy generation, and also water harvesting. So by installing one of the 360 living systems at an at-risk household, we are guaranteeing that the system operates independently and it generates in such a way that you will be able to earn from the system being installed at your property. Now, one of the things that we thought was necessary to stress on is the educational and employment component in the traditional living system. So we don't just want to come and put down and specific living system at household. We want to have those participants, those persons within the household, actually engage in educational programs that will help change the mindset of them so that they will recognize that the specific living system actually gives them the leg to walk in the direction of entrepreneurship. We also want to target persons in the relevant communities that are like the youngsters. So if someone may have the skill of to do some plumbing, we want that person to attach themselves to one of the plumbing companies that will be working under the program in terms of the installation of renewable energy systems on the rooftop. We want to be able to identify youngsters that are interested in electricity and attach that person to one of the companies that will operate under the program. And one of the more exciting things about the program is something called the Instant Kitchen Garden. And the Instant Kitchen Garden is one of the components that we're generating food from the 360 living system. So the way how it works, the rain falls on the rooftop. We have constant tanks that harvest the water off of your rooftop. It sends it not only to the Instant Kitchen Garden to ensure that you get food from the Instant Kitchen Garden, but we also want to send that so that it's harvested from your rooftop to your toilet and also one site on the outside of your property. Additionally, the renewable energy system will be there to power the pump and also have at least one socket inside of the household that you can plug in a laptop or if you plug in.
Do we have any prototypes of this or any pilot projects with this running at the moment?
We would have done projects in similar fashion with the name is slipping me right now.
Rotary?
The Rotary. Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Rotary Club of Barbados, as a matter of fact, they had initialized this project back in 2018, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an excellent project, and I would have asked them for the permission to expand on it. And in expanding on it, we decided to include the renewable energy components based on the data that came back to us, relative to try to help the families in terms of harvesting water that they can use with toilets and in the instant kitchen garden to separate food and so on. But we recognize that without generating energy, it actually put a slight burden on the families that are trying to help in that day. It's like the electricity bill slightly by $20 or so. So that is something that they were not able to handle. So the renewable energy component we see is very, very critical to the success of this program. And that's one of the reasons why we call it the 60 Living Program, because it allows a system to be installed at your property, and it doesn't cost you anything, and it generates for you. One of the things that we want to press on is how the 60 Living Program will help the country at the national level. For every gallon of water that is consumed from that tank, that's a gallon of water that the Barbados Water Authority does not have the funds to that at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's electricity that's being saved and exploration for water as well that is being saved. For every watt of energy that is used at that home that was generated from the renewable energy component of the 60 Living Program, that is energy that did not have to be generated by the Barbados Light and Power, and it essentially means that are less barrels of oil that we have to buy. So we would like to see the program rolled out in such a way that it is large enough to have an impact at a national level, even as it relates to food for every tomato, for every pepper, for every cabbage, lettuce that is harvested from the instant kitchen garden. That is money that we did not have to seek from the farmers then to purchase food from overseas as is customary right now in our country.
So one of the things I like and I want to underscore is the one I particularly like is the rain harvesting for the toilet, because you know how much potable water we use to flush the toilet. We've talked about it, and this can be a serious avenue if we can get this scaled up to a serious, you know, in a national scale, where instead of having to wait for water to get through the aquifer, have to be treated, have to be pumped, have to be leaked before it gets to you, and then to be able to be put to use for something like flushing the toilet. So that's something, if we can find an innovative and cost-effective way to scale that, I could definitely see that being part of the solution to a lot of water woes. Myself, my colleagues have to sit and listen to here on a daily basis.
Yeah.
All right, Nicola Simpson. Let me bring in Nicola Romel. We're going to come back.
Mm-hmm. Because it will be targeting a lot of the problems that we face right now in the country. Mm-hmm. And right now we are on a drive to get Barbados converted to 100% renewable energy by 2030. But we must acknowledge that it will be difficult for at-risk families to get in on that drive. And we see the 60 Living System as an avenue for those at-risk families to get in on that drive, even if it is small and just a socket. That is one socket that is in their home, at least they were able to get in and make an impact at the national level as it relates to us trying to reduce our importance into this country to generate energy and more food.
All right. Nicola.
I'm here. Good morning.
Yes, please. I want you to tell us about your initiatives.
Sure. So as part of the United Nations Development Program for Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean, our overall vision is to achieve peace and prosperity for people on the planet under the lens of sustainable development. Mm-hmm. And I joined UNDP to run something called an Accelerator Lab, which is part of 60 labs in 78 countries around the world, which are reimagining development for the 21st century. And the focus of our lab for Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean is on the blue economy, which is our ocean, our fisheries, tourism, Sunday morning sea bass on Browns Beach. This is what the blue economy is. And what we're really working on is solutions to challenges within this blue space. So we're currently working with innovators, for example, to convert fish waste, fish offal, and sargassum to biofuel, or creating a plastic alternative from sargassum, the use of blockchain technology in fisheries, the use of underwater drones to map coral reefs. So up until 6 weeks ago, this was my primary focus. But as a result of COVID, you know, the way we live, work, and socialize changed overnight, and that required us to pivot and adapt. So as such, UNDP is supporting many initiatives, and I'm leading the economic transformation of micro, small, and medium enterprises, MSMEs, to transition towards the digital economy and e-future, the future of work. So we are collaborating with various partners such as delivery service platforms, such as WeFetch, an entrepreneurial network called 10 Habitat, as well as with FarmFinder. And I think what our experiences over the past 2 weeks have shown me is what is truly essential and the importance of supporting local food, local farmers and fishers, and valuing the hands that feed us. So what we're doing is trying to connect the fisher folk in Bridgetown or Oyston who is no longer selling to hotels, to the taxi driver who now is not doing routes from the airport to the hotel, so he's turned into a delivery driver to basically deliver goods and services to the senior citizen in St. George, for example. And I think another positive coming out of the pandemic is the opportunity for innovation. And we're seeing so much innovation in Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. It's an opportunity to recover, but also to do things differently, build back better, become more resilient, and really prepare for the future and the digital transformation. How do we move online? How do we move to e-commerce platforms, mobile money? Within the agricultural and fishery space, we really are seeing many people doing amazing things, from two of the initiatives you just heard about to, you know, container vertical farming that started in Barbados with Integrow in 2017, to aquaculture farming of tilapia with Adams Aqualife. I think this really shows the importance of innovation and technology to do things differently, to drive the sectors forward while making sustainable choices that are better for our health as well as the planet. So that's a bit of what I'm doing now.
All of this sounds and is extremely, extremely important. And I think it's very, very interesting. And a lot of times we don't get to connect with all the audiences to let them know exactly what's happening around them. So sometimes you can feel that doom and gloom and we're going nowhere, nothing is happening. But here we have three young, I want to call y'all executive practitioners, because you know about the planning part and you do know about, you know, the actual implementation. And I want for our audience to be able to interact with you in a very meaningful way in terms of, let's look at the old problems and let's look at new ways of solving them. I mean, so I'm going to open up the lines now. I'm going to let the public know. You know the lines, the number to call, 434-1790. That's 434-1790. You know the WhatsApp, 266-4862, for those who don't. And we're going to steer you through. My producer, my technical operator, Dennis Johnson, he's in the chair. I'm here. I'm on the air. And we're going to take your calls. And we're going to have this interaction. Now, of course, earlier I said we have the small fire. So the stream is down for sure. I'm getting lots of reports that is down. But, you know, nonetheless, we are going to guide you through. So just after quarter after one on this program. So you can give us a call and you can answer questions. You can interact with our guests. Now, as we get the calls lined up, two of the main issues we've had with agriculture, we've talked about long, and I know this came up just recently again, is the issue of predial larceny. And we know the AGSA is going to put, you know, stricter penalties on this. We also have the issues of the monkeys, and you know, the monkeys really repay more than the actual farmers. Now, if we look at a new way of doing it, any of you come up with, in any of your innovations, any of your programs or projects on ways to actually tackle these two pests to agriculture, to put it that way? Anybody can jump in.
But for every, if I may add value to this, this is one of the things that Nicola has mandated us to explore in our collaboration with the UNDP. Nice. And we're actually looking at traceability systems for sure, nothing that is new in terms of traceability. But we're looking at traceability systems that would first and foremost allow those persons who are authorized to engage in the agricultural sector by way of registering as farmers, or those persons who have produce at home and are willing to distribute in a legal way in the market, to actually have some recognition by way of a traceability marker, whether it be by the specific codes that are assigned to persons or vendors or whatever. That part has to be tweaked, but traceability systems is definitely one way that we can look at identifying that aspect of predial larceny and trying to tackle it perhaps at the distribution end. At the end of the production, with respect to the crops being in the ground. I've seen a recent article implying that the government may be considering drones. While I think this is a very useful integration, I also do know that there are some limitations with that approach, and this is not to knock it. I really welcome it. I really welcome it in the overall framework for security, food security. But I think that we need to have those initial discussions with the farmers to find out how the farmers themselves, if possible, could come to a more collective framework that includes some of the same drones and includes some of the traceability, and thereby reduces the incidence of persons coming in and bypassing their properties to steal the stuff. One suggestion that I had, which was only last week, and I am by no means condoning or condemning it, I'm just relaying it, is that we should look at the rules and regulations by which the food security infrastructure in Barbados has access to protect the property by way of firearms. That was one suggestion that came, whether the person was slighting it or being very serious, I don't know, but that is a consideration, because food is a very serious thing, particularly when you have disruptions such as the COVID-19. And I think we should really take all considerations on board in terms of helping the farmers not to protect their economic activities, but to feed the country, more importantly.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, but I think that the justice system has to be a bit more severe on the way in which they deal with persons who are caught stealing from the farmers. You would see in Barbados that somebody would go in the supermarket and steal a pack of biscuits and get more time than a guy who went in a farm and exerts and labor and harvests and sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Slaughter a whole cow and leave the carcass behind.
I believe that the justice system has to send a strong message, a strong signal to these persons out there. You kind of lost them in prison for a little time. And I believe that that would help. That would help. And next thing, I would like for us to explore having the commercial sector that absorbs the produce from the farmers, having the commercial sector do a little bit of policing. So Lorenzo just spoke about the tracing. But if you get to a supermarket or a hotel and you cannot present the necessary information to show that you would have grown these crops, well, then the crops should not be purchased. Mm-hmm. There should be a flag that should be raised at that point that would help the honest farmers out there to know that, okay, at least if it is stolen, there are several different checkpoints that the goods can show up at.
I need a little more on top of that, in all honesty, because that's the kind of same old thought that we try to get away from today. Because the issue there is that people understand that when people steal crops, they're bringing it, number one, it's cheaper. You understand? Look, they're trying to fence it. They're trying to get it on their hands fast. One of the other things that came up in recent years, you hear a lot of talk about, is the actual farmers stealing from farmers. So the whole idea of having the kind of farmer ID to say, yes, I'm a farmer, I plant this, is really null and void if you have farmers stealing from farmers. No, I'm not sitting here saying that that's what's happening. I'm sitting here saying that's the kind of discussion that's going on in that sector in terms of where farmers are accusing other farmers of stealing from them.